Welcome to Passions for Life, where your hosts, Natalie Z, Travis Schulte, and Ben Hayes, pull back the curtain on your favorite show you always denied watching. That's Passions. Ben, I didn't give you a title.
Nope.
That's okay.
Okay.
I've been told by many wealthy people, and they don't have titles. I don't know where I'm going.
Who inherited their money?
Right. They bootstrapped it. That's what bootstrapping means. It means inheriting wealth.
Wow, we just got right into it.
So I'm in a mood. Come from?
I'm in a mood.
Guys, I missed you.
I missed Ben.
You missed
because you see Travis all the time.
You see me all the time, yeah. You missed the three of us chatting.
I did. I sleep in the same bed with you, so I don't see you all the time.
We chat every night.
Yeah. But yeah, I did. It felt very strange to not be involved in the shenanigans. Yeah.
It felt very strange not having you involved.
But shenanigans were had. The Hot Boys Movie Club pivoted to Hot Boys Podcast Club for a couple of episodes. And I thought
I'm looking forward to hearing those episodes.
Valentine's very funny, as always. Valentine or Val.
Valentine? Funny? Yeah. Yeah. You think?
Yeah. Yeah, I do.
Funny guy.
I guess everybody has their opinion.
Funny man.
That's true. What's new? Natalie, you've been working a lot.
I've been working.
Busy lady.
I'm a busy lady. And also, there is a bit of a delay on this podcast. So fingers crossed, this will be ancient history by the time you're listening to this. But we are currently on a 7-day lockdown here in Melbourne.
Aussie rules. Aussie rules lockdown. They call it a
snap lockdown.
Snap lockdown.
Lockdown there is much stricter than what we considered lockdown here. Like, you're locked down, California, but you know what? If you have to go to a restaurant, that's okay. If you have to go to the store.
Well, I will say this. We don't really know how strict it is out there, although I did see some tanks going by.
Did you really? Are you joking?
No, I'm joking. But I think the big difference is that people take it differently. They handle it better.
People take it collectively more seriously.
Collectively, like sure. More people kind of.
So yeah, we get 2 hours a day to go outside. And that is meant to be for exercise, a store run, or that's it, I guess, really.
Yep.
And then that's it.
Pick up food.
That's all. I am still working.
Right.
Because I am deemed essential. Hilarious. Fucking hilarious. Which means my kid can technically go to school, but she's got another parent who is free.
Remote learning.
So she's out of school. I'm going to work. Travis is going to be day drinking. I'm currently day drinking.
Parent and teacher.
9:30 a.m. and I'm having a glass of wine. Judge all you want.
I'm having a beer. So.
Well, it's also 19 hours in the past for you.
Yeah, you're having your Friday night beer and Natalie's having her Saturday morning.
No, today's Friday here.
Oh, that's right. I thought it was the weekend. Yeah.
Thursday.
Yeah. Thursday beer and her Friday morning medicine.
Be over
Sounds
soon.
Awful.
Sounds and awful, it is. But it's going to be done.
Come on,
in 7 days.
Turn it around. Silver lining.
It's so cute. Yes. Yeah, so I'll spill a little tea about myself. I consider myself to be a fairly professional worker most days when I go to work. Yesterday, I sort of broke down. I cried. I cried at work, guys. I cried at work.
In your trailer or on set?
No, on set.
And it wasn't in the scene.
It wasn't in the scene. Although I did cry in the scene too, which was way more challenging. We have an incredible director right now who happens to be female. Her name is Cherie. And it's times like this when, you know, I it's really great to have a woman helming a project, because I don't know if a man could have handled. And I wasn't hysterical. I just was, you know, it was overwhelming. And emotional. just the idea of, because for me, this lockdown signifies, I was just having some sort of traumatic flashbacks to March 2020 when everyone was saying, you got 2 weeks. After the 2 weeks, everything's going to be fine. We just got to tough it out for 14 days and then, you know, we'll move on. And, you know, a year and a half later, we're still dealing with it. And that's just what I said to her. I said, I think it's just a sort of mild case of PTSD that I'm feeling right now. And she said, look, we've done this. This is the fourth time we've done this here. They're very good about it. It's going to be 7 days. Then we're done. This has happened before. We know what we're doing. So it was really reassuring to have somebody to just say, you know, it is different here. It may not be the most efficient way to handle it, but it's the way we handle it. And, you know, it's worked for us. So yeah,
that's a different, that's what's strange is. And I even spoke to the neighbors. And so last night, so the lockdown started at midnight last night. And everyone in Australia, everyone in Melbourne went to dinner at a restaurant.
It was packed last night.
Everyone was at dinner. And they call it their last supper. And so that's what I did.
Completely antithetical to what they're trying to accomplish.
Right. I'm like, so we just all create like a massive super spreader event. And then we lock down.
Right. Yeah. But,
you know, whatever. I took Ray to dinner. The confidence that they kind of have, like, you know, we're doing it again.
I felt very reassured once I was
surprising. Yeah.
Cause once my tears dried I please just say, I wasn't hysterical. It was a couple of like a single tears.
It was known as an emotional breakdown.
A very polite, very American suppressed, hold it all in until you burst. And then a couple of wet droplets
emerged
from the eyeballs.
I kept joking like how a male director would handle that.
You good?
Yeah.
You good?
What did I do wrong?
Do you need five?
Need a moment?
I could. Okay, we don't have five. Yeah. All right, let's go.
Yeah. Just use it. Use it in the scene.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was. I don't enjoy doing that at work because
you don't do it.
I don't do it. It's very rare. But the point of the story is, and the reason I bring it up is because we all have a lot of internalized trauma. I think from when this went down last March, and it manifests itself in ways that, you know, can be surprising, like yesterday. You know, I didn't realize that I was carrying so much
trauma.
Yeah. I mean, I don't want to minimize the word, but yeah. So that's what's going on. Ben, what's happening over there with Hot Boy Summer? Because we're in the midst of, you know, fucking winter. Let us hear about bikini pics.
No bikini pics.
Liar.
So we have taken on a new cat. Can get used to each other's smells without seeing each other. The result of this is that I spent a lot of time with Betty, our black cat. And Betty likes to sit in my lap for as long as she can, whenever I'm seated or lying down. And she likes to nap hard, and she is such a deep sleeper that she'll twitch in her sleep. So I have all these little claw marks on my legs because it is summer. The reason I brought this up is because...
And you're wearing a bikini while you do this.
Yes, I'm taking overhead pics with a GoPro that I mounted to the ceiling.
Right.
You'll never see them, though. That's bad. Apparently, all you do in your sleep is play tennis. All you're doing is, like, doing this all night. So apparently, that's what I do in my sleep.
You do. Yeah. I know this because I have one of those in my bed, too.
Dude, I used to hit Reagan when she was sleeping with us.
Yeah, when she was teeny tiny.
But she slept in between me, and I would be like, oh, God. Wake up. I'm like, wow, that is crazy. I'm smacking my sleeping baby.
But don't worry, he still hits me.
Yeah, I'll hit Nell in the head every once in a while. And then I'll be like, oh, I was playing tennis in my dreams, babe. Sorry.
He just did air quotes.
He did, yeah.
Any not excuse cool, to beat me.
Not cool, Travis.
It's true. It's a dark fucking place.
But, it is. It is.
Listen, I am. Not, I'm so invested in your third animal.
That's a lot.
Well, because of the history and you know all the complications that come with it, but also because when a teeny tiny kitten showed up on our doorstep years ago, like, what was that? Probably 10 years ago. Mm. We were trying to figure out what to do. This kitten was just, I mean, it was a kitten. It was fucking adorable. Like, what do? You keep it, right?
Yeah.
And we had a long talk and I was like, fuck, man, if we keep this cat, we're those people who have three cats. Like, I don't know that I can cross that threshold. Like, I can't. I don't know if I can. Yeah. No. And now, so I'm not only living vicariously through you, but also observing as if it's an experiment.
Well,
are people going to stop being your friends because now you're the people who have three cats? That's right.
Which I don't know if you.
Be fine.
Natalie never met Sebastian.
I didn't. I heard tell of Sebastian often, but I don't think we ever came.
He was very person oriented. Like it was easy to find cat sitters. It was easy to find a cat sitter for him because he loved people. Old. He lived to be about 20 and we had to put him down. But up to that point, we had three cats. We had Betty and Veronica and Sebastian.
I had completely forgotten that you were a three cat household at one point. So this is like old news for you.
Of Pasadena versus Los Feliz, which is a difficult adjustment for many people to make.
It's different. Yeah, it feels cats, she probably humans. Feels like she's kind of letting it all go. And, you know, she's no longer a hip young thing. And she's maybe lost a little bit of her edge. You know, I watched the first 10 minutes of the Friends reunion last night. And it
Why?
Made me sad because they're all lovely and God bless them. And they all seem to be very healthy and thriving, but people age and it's a reality and it makes me I'm obviously just in a very sad place right now. Anyway, I'm going to keep watching it because I like those kids.
If it turns out to be great, let me know and I'll watch it.
I'm also, you have to know that I'm 10 million miles from all my friends and family, and my level of like what I'll tolerate is the bar is pretty low.
Sure.
And I'm also incredibly sentimental and nostalgic. So. Which actually, what a beautiful segue into our episode.
Nobody wants to know about my week.
Yeah, we kind of were sharing a week.
Travis, no.
please, Travis.
How was your week, Travis?
I'm so sorry.
I did another podcast.
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
Well,
I did an Australian podcast called Funny in Failure.
How'd it go?
I met with Michael, and I'm going to butcher his name because I can't remember it. It's like, Koyan? Kayon? Crap.
What is that? What is it with us in last names? Why don't we know people's last names?
Well, I don't know, but hold on. Real quick. Two podcasts ago, Travis called Liz Cheney, Lynn Cheney.
You should have, yeah.
Lon Cheney.
Lon Cheney, Liz Cheney, Lynn Lon Cheney.
What is the difference? So Melbourne Michael.
Funny and Failure, really. Really nice kid.
Do you know
kid.
When it...
I don't. I will find out all that information, but it was really fun. He's a very interesting guy. You know, he put together this podcast and he likes to talk to a lot of actors about when they failed and what about them got them to continue on, to not give up and keep... So it was very interesting to talk to someone about that. And he kind of... I asked him, I said, why me? And he said, well, you know, I listened to your podcast and you said... I listened to your story about your first day on Passions.
Yeah.
Mm. People, yeah, I've said, talked to people who have really connected with that story.
Yeah, it really resonates with people.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and that was interesting because we kind of talked about that. And you know, he quoted me and I was like, that's the first time I've ever been quoted. That was really strange.
Oh, yeah, that is weird, right?
Yeah, it was funny. Yeah. But he also did one with Sean Gunn. Who's a friend, yeah.
Did he know that you guys knew each other?
No, he did not, no. And, you know, the one that's, like, I don't know if it's the one that's going to be right before me, but the one that's out now was with John Noble, who I worked with on Fringe. And he was a really, really cool guy. I like that guy a lot.
I like that show. That was a good show.
It was a good show.
People liked that show.
Australian Heavy, Anna Torv and John Noble. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and they did it in Vancouver. Canada.
Mm-hmm.
Anywho. That's what I wanted to...
Well, congratulations. Yeah. That's awesome.
Yeah, thank you for mentioning that.
Well, it was funny because what's funny about this is he reached out before we left for Australia. And I said, well, just tell him I'm going to be there. And he got super excited because he said, well, that's...
Because they got to do it in person. Better.
And then I did it the day before the lockdown. I'm like, glad we scheduled it.
Yeah, our showrunner for La Brea left the day before the lockdown back to the U.S. Sneaky little fucker.
What a great move.
What a great move. Yeah, well, he didn't know.
Trust me, when I heard about the lockdown, there was a thought about me and Ray running to the airport.
Oh, God, I would. Oh, yeah, I'd be fine with that. I'd be super fine. That wouldn't send me over the just fucking edge.
See you, Natalie.
Yeah. All right. Don't just.
Hey, guys, where are you at?
Somebody would have to come out airport. In quarantine for 2 weeks and fucking like hold my hand for the next 4 months.
Yeah. Ben?
Benjamin Hayes is my first vote.
Well, I've always wanted to go to Australia. My first pen pal was Australian. My only pen pal.
Were they in jail?
No.
You don't remember it pen was pals?
Well, my pen pals were in jail.
That's a
Are you serious?
No.
I was about to ask about Jen, what Jen was thinking.
She didn't know.
Oh my. You got dark again. I'm just trying to keep it light here.
I know. Sorry.
No, my mom set me up with a like an Australian kid of the same age, and we wrote letters. Like, this is what life's like in Australia.
Would he say good day, mate?
We eat cucumbers. We call them cukies. I don't know. I'm making that up. But
making shit up, Ben.
Yeah. And I was like, we're in Texas, and we just, we shoot guns. That's what we do.
That's all we do in Texas.
Reagan just told me in school when they're doing the sound of H, they say H.
Well, I mean, I think every other English-speaking country besides America says H.
H.
And Z.
I didn't know that. And Zed.
Is she doing Zed now?
No, but she does say so.
Oh, boy. She's going to come back with the craziest weird little accent.
It's going to be so weird. And then it'll go away immediately.
She'll say out. Do a little out.
Yeah. Okay. So, Travis, congratulations. Natalie, I'm glad you're over the hump, so to speak, emotionally. Sadly, we do have to dive into this Passions episode.
Not sadly at all, because I think it's going to lift my spirit.
Good.
Everyone.
Perfect. It is a fun episode. First of all, I never asked you guys this, but why did you choose this episode?
Very glad you asked this question because I was planning on answering it whether you asked or not. I had a really hard time finding episodes for the next couple of pods. And the reason is because I'm not in them. I would just go through and just click on an episode, not me, click on an episode, not me, click on an episode, not me, click on it. So honestly, this was the first one I came across that I was in. It happened to be great. I got very lucky. It happened to be a great episode. But what it showed me was that it wasn't my imagination. I wasn't crazy. I wasn't being a brat. I wasn't on this show. So it was validating to a certain extent. But it was difficult to find episodes. So this is the first one I landed on that Travis and I were both in. And what an episode. I actually wrote at the top of my notes, this episode is making me really nostalgic. And that's the first time that this had happened. Watching Passions that I got like this particular type of nostalgia, which was like, I was watching Molly Stanton, who plays Charity. And I was thinking to myself, what a beautiful little time capsule for her to like be able to look back and just have a documentation of this time in her life. She was very young and she got this job and it was probably a really big deal. And again, working in daytime is so singular. I'm sort of obsessed with it. I write scripts about daytime. I write scripts about weather girls and game show hosts and soap actors. And it's like a niche that I'm fascinated with. And I think watching her, and again, the episode's not about Molly. It's not about Charity. It just, there was just a moment where I got very like, my innards got warm, if you will.
Okay.
Not in a silly way. Yeah. So that was a long answer to your question. How did you choose this episode? But it's the episode, famous episode 514, that takes place during Sheridan and Teresa's bachelorette party for the famous double wedding. So there are I have four different sort of storylines happening. It may just be three, but we've got the bachelorette party, we've got Timmy and Tabby, and then we've got some Grace nonsense. I'm going to fucking go off on Grace because that's what I do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I did. I got. And a
don't
lot.
Forget the tabloid.
Don't forget. Yeah, yeah, well, that's your Gwen's big scene. Right. This is when Passions was at its best. It was firing on all cylinders.
Agree.
It's a solid episode.
Agree. So the episode opens with Timmy and Tabby and
recapping.
yes, it's a huge recap, and it's a Shakespearean monologue without the Shakespeare is what I wrote.
Which makes it not a Shakespearean monologue.
Well, it's a Shakespearean monologue without. Like, he could get away with it, old Willie, because of the eloquence with which he wrote these, you know, the words. That's obviously not here. And so she's doing this sort of Greek chorus type monologue without anything to back it up. It's like, I finally found the formula, and it doesn't work.
Okay, great.
So So we're talking about Tabitha and Timmy. There's some really cool creepy ideas here, or one really cool creepy idea, which is the screaming wind chime. I mean, that's awesome. Great.
The moaning.
Yeah, that's a really cool, like, the idea that, like, someone's like the wind chime capturing someone's voice as a horror element. That's really cool.
It was cool. Cool idea. I like that stuff. It was very that is where you go, oh, there was effort put in this and a thought and the haunted wood chime. I love it.
You know what it made me think of? Wood chime, yeah. Have you heard about the moan rooms on Clubhouse?
No.
So
why would why?
Well, because I think we're out of the demographic.
We don't follow the same social.
I'm just younger than you.
No, I have.
No, Ben is the youngest.
I have Clubhouse, but I have found it to not be that. It doesn't grab me. Maybe because I don't commute anywhere, so I'm just like, I'm gonna go sit and listen to other people talk.
Or you're going to go to a moan room, which is a room where people, I guess, fake orgasms and other people rate them.
Hmm.
Yeah,
that's interesting.
That was my reaction.
Yeah. I feel like Passions was maybe a little ahead of its time with this could have been the genesis of the moan room, because it did sound that. So there's this listeners, there's moaning or screaming as Ben.
Can we just move on?
And it sounds sexual.
This is so, I don't want to talk about this. I'd rather talk about Passions than moan rooms.
I was talking about Passions. All right, babe, why don't you take over?
All right.
Go.
Question. I have a question for Travis, since he's ready.
He's raring
primed
to go.
Why can't she say Ouija board? It's like the spirit board. It's like I assume it probably is a clearance issue.
Oh yeah, 100%. Yeah.
But she said it a few different ways, but never actually said the word Ouija, despite it actually being a Ouija board.
Do you think that they, when they were the Ouija board, when they were moving the cards around, do you think they used magnets? You think they made it practical? Like they do on WandaVision?
Yeah, I think that was my thought, was that that's just a magnet, someone underneath you moving it. Travis says no. You
no
think
way.
It's CGI?
No way.
What?
It is all Juliet.
What do you mean it's all? No, she's not touching them, babe.
No, sure.
The cards, the tarot cards.
She wasn't touching
the tarot cards. Yeah. The tarot cards. Sorry. Right, yeah. I thought you were talking about the Ouija board. Yeah, that was pretty funny.
Yeah.
That probably cut into our lunch.
Yeah, we gotta get the magnets.
The tech behind that. I one of my favorite lines was Hecuba has more layers than Martha Stewart.
I wrote Martha Stewart jokes. Super dated.
Super good. Well, she finally went to jail in 2003. So this was,
pre
jail time for her.
But it's like peak Martha Stewart time too. Right. She was having her.
Yeah, but I think the stuff that came out about her maybe had just come out or something. Insider trading. Jesus.
Do you remember when that seemed like a big damn deal?
Yeah. When we were like, oh, shame on you.
Oh, you're the worst, Martha Stewart.
You're the worst.
Now you're like,
run for president.
Here's something I wrote. Can we talk about Timmy's overalls?
Gladly.
I wrote Oshkosh kibosh. No to those overalls. Really bad.
You got your own little fashion podcast going.
Fun.
That's a good one, Ben. Wow.
Thank you.
Yeah, so.
Thank you. I had thought of that.
I think the answer is no on the overalls. Yeah? If we're taking both?
It looked like someone with zero fashion sense went to Joann's Fabrics and just is like, random grab bag of things, like different patterns, stripes with like color. It was just awful.
I think may have been the goal. I think that may have, you may have just.
That was the goal.
Yeah.
Because it's like, is he a toy? Or is he a human boy?
I don't know. Let's just grab everything.
Right. But I think they were trying to make him look like a toy.
Yeah. Well, no, it was an eyesore.
That's what it was. An eyesore. I love her spells. I think they really did a great job with her spells.
I don't know what you're talking about, but I do know that I ran into, what is his name? Michael McDonald, who plays the
man, Michael McDonald,
the man in the pool.
Oh my God. I embarrassed myself.
I'm sure I did. Well, I did too, but not at work, because prior to him getting the job on Passions, my mom and I saw him at the Gelsons, and oh God.
Is he someone famous that I should know?
He was on Mad TV, and we,
Yes. Oh, that's why he was Mr. Nicehead.
Nicehead, which was my nickname in college.
No,
my favorite was Stuart.
Look what I can do. So my mom and I saw him at the Gelsons, and I approached him and embarrassed myself. And then he worked on Passions, and I would go the other, anytime I saw him, I would go the other way because I was mortified.
I like Nicehead. It reminded me of a James Bond name. You know how sometimes the writers will name characters really silly names.
Like
Pussy Galore is one. I was going to say Lot of Vagina, but that's Austin Powers.
Goldfinger.
Yeah, Goldfinger. But in Moonraker, the doctor's name is Dr. Goodhead.
That's all right.
Dr. Goodhead.
Maybe that's where they got it?
Yeah.
Yeah,
Because maybe. Nothing is original on the show?
I attacked him. I'm said, oh my God, I'm such a fan. And I just harassed him the whole time. Every chance I had, I talked to him. And told him how much I loved his comedy and how funny he was. And I did it every time. Well, and we started talking, and we shared a lot. We talked and we hung out a bit, and he was nervous. And I just kept saying, don't be nervous. This is no big deal. What you do is way bigger than this and harder than this. And he said, no, I want to adhere to the genre, but I also don't want to come across as bad. And I said, that's impossible.
Yeah, you got to pick one.
I said, it doesn't, don't worry about that. You're better than everyone. And what's funny is I've continued to run into him throughout my career, and he's directing now. And that's when I've worked with him, is he's directed episodes of, what did he do? I think he did a Scrubs. He's done other stuff. So it's fun when I see him, I'm like, hey, oh, he did his Splitting Up Together.
Oh, he did?
And he did a couple episodes, and it was fun because I got to work with him. And he's just such a fun guy, and he's so funny. He gets
can't believe he did Passions.
Was he thinking it was a stunt casting thing? They're like, we just want to.
Obsessed with the show. He said, I can't stop watching the show. Okay. And told my people that I wanted to get on it.
God bless him. Yeah. If more people had done that,
it'd be a very different podcast. Do we want to transition just quickly and get through
Party.
I think we should say that for last. I was going to say, let's just get Grace over with.
I think I'm going to try. Yeah. We should figure out a way to get him as a guest.
Michael? Yeah.
Who?
Michael McDonald.
Oh, I thought you meant David, whose name I looked up. His name is Justin Curl.
I don't think we're okay. No, he's fine. He's fine. I was getting him mixed up with somebody else. Grace. Is Grace
all right?
Calling Grace, Grace.
Danger, here it comes.
There's a lot of problems or things that are annoying kind of boring about this.
You think so? You think the Grace storyline is not so interesting?
Is this the first David episode?
Yes.
Or maybe the second episode?
This is David Hastings' intro. Yeah, maybe the second. Right. But this is when we first, when we first are introduced to our friend David. And
David Hastings.
David.
And Grace is outside of her...
Go ahead.
Is like no.
I was just body, gesturing, that's all. Yeah,
saying
grace. Yeah, she's talking to herself. And I mean aside from my playing tennis in my sleep, I've never known anyone to sleep this fitfully. Outside of Mike Birbiglia,
she's possessed. Yeah, well.
another as said, another overheated nightmare.
Another because she is overdoing it.
She has bad naps. She's a bad napper.
Well, okay, so
but she's always taking them.
I didn't realize this was a nap, so I noted that even her nightgown was a boner killer. And then I was like, "Oh wait a minute, this is a nap. This is a fucking nap in the middle of a bachelor party. Cool."
Yes, great bachelor party, by the way. If you're napping,
right? But she's under the covers. Can I take a poll? Who naps under the covers here?
If it's chilly in the winter, I do.
No, that's not an app.
No, not even then.
That means you're going to bed.
I'm a professional napper, guys.
Once you go under the covers,
it's over.
It's done. I mean, what I will do, Travis, to prevent this is I will actually take the covers and kind of fold them over myself like a taco.
Done that? Yes. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Also,
actually get inside.
Right, so you don't get in.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. Okay. It's a psychological thing. I don't want to get in bed.
So another one I'll do is I'll put a pillow on my chest.
Yeah. Okay. And then Natalie puts a pillow on your face to help you sleep.
And then winter gets in my crotch.
Yeah.
Wow. That's you got it. You've really
got a system.
You made it. Yeah. Yeah.
And then I wake up to him trying to bite my face.
I thought it was going to be way more sinister.
Something else.
Yes.
So this is David's intro.
This is David's intro.
Okay, cool. And what a great intro.
Yeah.
Coming out of the bed.
Yeah, taking a nap.
How's your character intro?
Oh, I wrote here. Fantastic. I wrote a funny. I wrote taking a nap at a party. What is she, Valentine?
Oh,
snap.
Snap. Snap. Listeners, Val can fucking sleep anywhere.
Hey, man, that guy works late.
That is
he
true.
Does, yeah. But sometimes he'll come over. Back when we did that, and he would
two years ago.
He would just be like, "I'm gonna just lay down," and he'd go lay down a minute, and then come back. Oh, man, I envy that.
Yes, you do.
You're not a napper. No, you're not a napper.
It's an unfortunate thing for you.
I wrote here. This could have been an interesting character. It's just missing like a chromosome. I think I was talking about Grace.
Grace.
Because don't hate where what the DNA of the character. It's just it's missing a chromosome. And like there's something that is just not. There's something that's not there. And this is the first time where I was like, oh no, this could have been cool. And I still stand by my new philosophy that this is not Dana's fault. Not that I ever blamed her, but I definitely didn't not blame her for a little while. And now the more I watch her, the more I'm convinced it's not her fault.
Yeah, I agree. I can see that.
Fuck Grace. Let's move on.
When did we talk about Gwen? Is that in the
Bachelorette Party?
Because a couple of things specifically that I want to call out about her, but yeah, so that's the last, that's the big chunk left, right? Is the Bachelorette Party and the sort of the kind of spinoff
tabloid
plots?
Yeah.
Yeah, the tabloid stuff.
So the meat of this episode is obviously this bachelorette party,
right?
Which
I completely blocked out.
You blocked it out. I somehow thought you had. Was it blocked out because of, again, this is the theme of this episode, trauma? Or was it blocked out just because there's too many memories in your bank and one of them had to go and that randomly, you know, from a lottery selected to go away?
Too many. And then also because if you think about it, this was a day. This was a one day.
Yeah, as opposed to the cabin stuff.
One day out of five.
Like a week. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. As opposed to the week. You know, and you can tell. You can tell we shot this in a day because it is a big turd of a scene.
It is awful.
They actually, you see, Luis says, let's get out of these get-ups. And I immediately go to taking off my hat and mask.
Yes.
And then they don't even cut that out. They just like pan the camera. And I'm like, I clearly missed my cue, but they didn't decide to do it again. They just like, we'll just cut
listeners,
away.
Listeners, if you're lost, this is the episode where Luis and Ethan dress up like Zorro?
Well, this Zorro. Is the thing. Yeah, Zorro the strippers.
Zorro the strippers for Sheridan and Teresa's bachelorette party. And what a prank.
No, this is another prank.
I wrote what a prank.
I mean,
I knew you did.
It's George Clooney-esque, but the problem is they don't even get that credit because they were doing it because they had heard that they had hired strippers to come to the bachelor party. They were very upset about it.
Because girls aren't allowed to get horny.
Yes, exactly. Yeah.
But the pranks on Luis and Ethan,
it was a switcheroo.
Oh, man.
Well, here's... And in the spirit of what something we talked about with Val is like finding the sort of the good seed of the idea for the episode. Like, what is how could it have gone right? And it almost never does. But how this could have gone right is the writers talking and like, you know what I always loved? I always loved the Beatrice Benedict, Much Ado About Nothing, gender switching role, you know, costumes and disguises. That's very obvious to the audience. Mm-hmm. But not obvious to the characters. Because that's what this feels like. Like, there's no way that Teresa or Sheridan are not going to recognize the bare chest and strong jaws of their, you know, husbands-to-be. But it's like this, aspiring for a Shakespearean level of kind of like, right. You know, wink,
but
wink.
Then also doing
we know that,
nothing to follow through on that.
Right.
Like nothing. Like sure. Making zero effort.
Nothing. Yeah. Right. But the ambition is there. And that's like, so like if you can get it right, then it becomes Much to Do About Nothing.
Yes.
If you get it wrong, it's like a really, really bad Three's Company episode. And if you get it really, really wrong,
it's passions. Yeah. Chef's kiss. Ben.
Chef's kiss.
Thank you.
We do
a lot
of shitting on Three's Company.
Three's Company is both wonderful and awful. Like that. It's,
like that.
Yeah.
There's so many things to be said about Three's Company.
Oh. That's our next podcast, guys. So.
Oh, don't fucking tempt me.
We're gonna call it Six's Company,
and then we'll get people off the street.
No, I agree. It's Three's Company is really, really funny if you watch one episode, but if you watch six episodes,
yeah, then it's over. I do want to talk about hair.
I was going to say, can we talk about Teresa's hair?
Yes, can we?
No.
What the fuck?
Yes.
What the fuck? This is a grown woman who's getting married, yes. Right? Not a three-year-old doll.
Well, how would you classify, how would you describe this hairstyle for the audience? Because I don't have
the vocabulary. There are no words. It is, well, yeah, I mean, it looks like somebody got a doll, a baby doll, and said, I'm going to do my baby doll's hair to look like what I think grown-up hair looks like. And then you have this hairdo. I don't know. Like, what is in the minds of the artists behind these hairstyles? Like, you know what? I do remember. I remember sitting in the hair chair and they had these stacks of magazines of like hairdo magazines. And they were outrageous, just absurd hair. So I guess they were just like, yeah, that, because it's. You know, we do the same thing every day.
Were the magazines there for you to choose from or for them to like as like inspiration look?
Yeah. Well, both, right?
Yeah, I mean, I'm...
But isn't it also, as part of what makes a soap opera great is because you can find these looks, these brand new looks for them.
I don't think they do
every
that anymore.
Time. I know, but I think that was part of Passions too. They were like, mm-hmm. Here's your look for this storyline. Here's your hair for this storyline.
Yeah.
And there was always these kind of discussions between, I kind of remember these discussions happening with especially with Lindsay because mm-hmm. of her hair, which mm-hmm. is amazing.
Incredible. Yeah.
And then like with Sheridan or Mackenzie, because her character is so wealthy
that she can go get her hair.
And
too.
What made Teresa difficult with her outfits is that she wasn't wealthy. So they had to figure out a way to make it work, you know, because I mean, if you look at Teresa's wardrobe and her financial situation, they don't match up.
But also
in her hairstyles. You know?
I think that even later on in the series, because I would pop in every once in a while to see how my friends were doing. I think they reeled that in. I would assume Lindsay had a lot to do with that.
Well, that's one of the reasons
we can't do this anymore.
That's one of the reasons why they wanted to get Teresa a crane so quickly is so she could start dressing fabulous.
Mm-hmm. They could chic her up a little bit. I have to say, Travis, those dance moves looked real familiar.
Ooh. Yeah.
Yeah.
Can you elaborate, please?
Sometimes we dance.
Sometimes we dance like this.
Sometimes when we dance.
Oh, no.
Fist bumps. Travis, I noticed my mask kept coming off.
Travis and I would, before we began courting, when we were still the best of friends, we would go dancing a lot. And then once we started courting, we would dance not as much because we were busy having sex.
We were doing the forbidden dance.
The forbidden dance. The horizontal dance. We were fucking. Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. Yes.
Because we love and trust each other.
Oh, my God.
So, yeah,
good callback, guys.
Seeing those moves made me, episode made me feel very nostalgic.
I've long been an advocate for the idea that you can dance to rock music. It doesn't have to be hip hop for you to dance to it. However,
how dare you?
I had this argument with when I was in grad school. Because anyway,
but hold on. You went to grad school?
You know how you know when someone went to grad school?
They'll tell you.
They'll tell you. I do think it's really hard to dance, to strip dance to Alice in Chains-esque music because this is a very, like, clearly the music supervisor or someone was like, you know what I really like and think is coming back? Grunge. Because it was like, bump, Yeah, and I was like, well, they're doing their best. No, but there's it, really, really no.
It's also one of those things where you show up and they're like, "What are we doing?" And it's like, "Well, I thought we'll just put you guys back to back in the middle of the scene.
Oh, here's the
music.
Comfortable.
Yeah, actually, yeah. Here's action. The music, and you're gonna dance to this." And it's like, "Wait, what?"
And I mean, and you're gonna talk to each other in a stage whisper. That's not a whisper.
It's not a whisper. And here's the thing too. There's actually, I think, a dance to this that we have to do. I think we come into the room and we do like a thing, I think maybe I
was a little late on the upshot with this episode.
Yeah, I think there's a dance. Okay. Some kind okay. of dance, but
that's okay.
It's okay. I forgive you,
Ben,
because
doesn't want to see it.
I might go back and watch it, because yeah. I actually there's some holes that need to be filled, so to speak.
Okay.
I know I know what you mean. I know what you mean.
I also remember Brooke Kerr, who plays Whitney. I remember her just fucking screaming the whole time. Did you guys hear this? She's just like whooping it up. And I was like, I love this. This is not for the show that we're on, but you know what? Commit. Go for it.
She was a little too in character.
I think she was laughing her ass.
I think she was too.
I think she was having a blast laughing at us.
And also, I said that the music was Welcome Back, Kotter music. when they take the masks off. It's like,
yes. Yeah.
In what way?
I'm not sure.
I'm not making that connection. Hold on.
Like a very like,
okay.
Yeah.
I wrote something that I can't read my own handwriting, which is weird. This DJ sucks. Witching hour. Anyone know what that would mean?
Oh, the witching hour is
why they have to leave.
Yeah, they have to leave. It's the witching.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. Yes. That's why it is. I was like, what is this? Sabrina, the teenage witch?
Well,
stupid.
Hold on. But this is, okay, I'm going to get
it's
back.
It's almost midnight.
I do want to get back to this, the Chinese food and all that stuff. Okay. But before that, I do want to say that Luis is a real Latin hothead.
My God.
Sure
yeah,
is.
Yeah. That's all I have to say about that. And where did Gwen come from?
From the back.
I don't know.
From the back room.
She just popped her head in.
I know. You always tried to figure out a way to stand behind someone so you could not be on camera. It's pretty funny.
This bachelorette party has a real weird open door policy.
Indeed, you are wrong. I always like start behind the camera. How dare you?
How dare you insult her professionalism?
Camera.
I cried at work this week. I don't need it. I don't need to hear it.
Yeah, it was an...
Well, speaking of...
Yeah.
Go ahead,
No,
Travis.
I agree with you, Ben. It was a very odd group.
Oh.
Well, it's just like people...
Sorry.
At Grace's house. At Grace's house. Grace and Sam's house.
At Grace's house, who's taking a nap, and other people are kind of coming and going at this bachelorette party that's co-ed, weirdly. But I want to talk about two things about Gwen. Okay. I don't know if this is where you're going.
There's a line exchange between the two of us that I want to see if you remember.
Oh, yeah.
You go ahead.
Okay. Well, I just want to know if Gwen was in the Navy or is somehow obsessed with the Navy because she says it again. About blowing Teresa out of the water.
So this is it. Okay.
I love that you picked that up, Ben, because I did too. I even looked it up and it's like, yep, it's a naval term.
So this became a thing. And I say this line probably a dozen times.
Yeah.
Over the course of two years. And it became such a stupid thing that one of the directors, Fido Xavier, who was very much on my side. I mean, they were all on my side. We all knew it was stupid. He said, I really want to get you in a close up where you say to yourself, her goose is finally going to be cooked. And we did it. We were able to slip it in there at one point. It was towards the end of my tenure and no one else got it. And I was so excited to watch it. And I watched it and I was like, oh, it was kind of a dud. But yeah, blowing Teresa out of the water is like, fucking come up with something else. Anything else.
Were they trying to make it a catchphrase? I mean, at this, they could have put out character cards with your picture on there and you're the one catchphrase.
Yeah, right. Kind of blow her out of the water. I don't know, but I hated it. I hated it so much. I hated it so fucking much.
Yeah.
It's a.
It brings me a lot of joy now. So if there's any consolation, any silver lining.
There you go.
Bad.
It's fun now.
Yeah.
So there's an exchange between me and Travis that I remembered when I saw it. And I remember us laughing so hard about this stupid fucking line where you come in and you say, Gwen, sorry about earlier. What?
Sorry.
Not, I think the not, wine. I think the wine has been spilled.
Yeah, the wine has been spilled.
Do you remember? Sorry.
Yeah. That's funny. Yeah, because it was like, sorry about earlier when I was gonna get married to you, and then like I go through all the things that I had done to her when I was gonna marry you, and then
I thought she didn't know who I was. But so sorry about. Sorry. Anyway, what's up?
Like that scene becomes a huge long, just litany of all the things that terrible things I've done to you.
Oh, and then it says, I wrote down, you can eat my dick. I don't know.
Sorry about earlier.
Sorry, but do you remember?
Yeah, it did seem strange. I was like, stop laughing. For taking off all my clothes and making out in front of my fiance in front of you?
Like, wasting my life?
The list is long.
Sorry about earlier. But this leads us into what I wrote down. Is this the iconic scene? Because what happens next is Ethan and Teresa go to the beach to eat Chinese food. And
yes,
what you don't see is that in the following episode or episodes, Ethan and Teresa consummate the relationship. And it is a very, very iconic scene for the fandom, which you wouldn't know about because you don't know, you don't do research. This is the genesis of that iconic scene. And the reason it's so important is not only because Ethan and Teresa finally fuck, but also spoilers abound. Ben, are you ready for this shit? He gets her.
Well, are we not going to watch this episode?
We might, but let me tell you what. He gets her pregnant.
Hmm.
But everybody, including Teresa, everybody thinks that that's Julian's baby because shortly hereafter, she gets drunk with Julian and thinks that they have sex, which they don't, and gets pregnant. So the whole time she's carrying this child that she thinks is Julian's is actually Ethan's from the wedding. Did you know this? Do you know any of this?
Yeah, it sounds familiar.
Yeah.
I just thought.
I read the scripts. Maybe.
I mean, maybe. No, I remember it being a high
this
pressure.
This information was not in the scripts.
I remember Lindsay and I being nervous about it because we were like, Jesus, this is like the one. Mm-hmm. We got to make this work. Mm-hmm. And then I just had a thought that maybe I should get Val to put a sample together of our sex scene and then put it on Clubhouse.
Oh, in the moan room.
In the moan room.
That's a good idea. I don't think you actually see the actual in and out of.
I don't think that was passions.
I think it's mostly kiss, 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 and then cut to some Timmy. Right. And then they're naked. And then it's after.
That was amazing.
Yeah.
You really are dedicated.
Was this the time period when they started doing celebrity name portmanteaus?
Yes. Bennifer? Yes. Well, soaps, I think soaps started that. So they did.
So what was Ethan Teresa would
Terethan.
Be?
Terethan.
Terethan. Really? That sounds like a cryptocurrency.
Etheresa?
Right?
No, it was Terethan.
Yeah.
I looked it up.
Terethan.
And it was Shuis.
That's a bad one.
There you go.
That's a bad one.
Shuis and Terethan.
Yeah. Not great. Not great. Doesn't roll off the tongue like Bennifer.
I think if that show was written now, it would be much better because the writers would know to do that.
Well, no, the writers didn't do it
ahead of time.
The fandom. Oh, I see.
You know what I mean?
Saying.
The writers would be like, okay, we're going to figure out the names of the lovers now. Let's put together some good.
Right. That's, you know. That's important.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You'd be like Jennifer and Ethan would be Jenethan.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Well, we have a little straggler of a storyline that's nonetheless incredibly important. And that is.
Yeah. I do want to point out another moment of my fantastic acting where I, you know, the cat is out of the bag and Ethan and Louise look like idiots. And I say, my line is, where are our clothes at?
Yes.
And I'm like, Kansas came out.
That dangling preposition stood out to me as well. Yeah.
I'm like, oh, that was not Ethan. And I kept it.
What was it like to dance back to back with Louise? I mean, were your backs touching or did you have capes on? You had capes on, right?
No. It's just our backs were to each other. I mean, it was awful. Like
sweaty. Was it sweaty and hot and good?
No, it was 4 degrees on that stage. No, it was just me and Galen just trying not to look like idiots.
Trying not to touch dicks.
Which was stupid. trying not to touch dicks.
Hard not to touch dicks.
That's what happens sometimes you touch dicks.
Natalie.
I'm sorry. Did you miss me?
God.
Have you ever been to a, like, have you seen male strippers actually take, I mean, they don't take it all off, right?
Me? Why are not? You talking to me?
Yeah.
Oh, I've seen Magic Mike. But I mean, like the movie.
Why wouldn't they take it all off?
Because no one wants to see that.
Well, have you ever been to a bachelorette party?
Me?
Wait.
Yes.
I have.
Have you ever been to a bachelor party?
It's different.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's different.
Well.
Guys.
Well.
Yeah, guys.
Maybe because I don't want to get into it. It's getting into NC-17 territory.
NC-17. Not don't touch dicks. Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
That's okay. That's Kevin Smith can say that in an R-rated movie.
Sure. And I'm pretty much, we said in one podcast, swimming in our own wet.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. That's still R-rated, I think.
Is that R?
When you start talking about tumescence versus flaccid.
Right.
It gets a little graphic. Right.
Yeah. Let's use anatomy.
God don't make no trash.
There he is. There's the text.
There he is.
All right, tabloid time.
May I quote my favorite line of the whole episode?
I hope it's okay. Yeah.
I hope it's the one that
it
I
is.
Have.
It's everybody.
Oh, I got okay.
It's everybody's Hanks.
Going. Hanks.
Hanks' famous line.
Yes.
Sometimes it's just better not to know the truth.
Yeah. That's not what I thought you were going to say, but that is. I wrote it down too.
Hanks,
yeah,
Hanks' wisdom in his Donnie Brasco jacket.
Yeah.
I love it.
Yeah, he's
yeah. He's not a cop, right? Because that's. I mean, that's not a good philosophy for life.
Yeah.
Hey, the doctor called with the diagnosis. You know what? Sometimes it's better just to not know the truth.
It goes.
You don't want to know how long you have to live? Don't want to know.
Hand in hand with, it came on so suddenly, I'm sure it's nothing.
Right.
Yes. Yeah. These people are definitely not writing rules for life.
Yeah. No. Right.
No, God, no.
Is the guy, like the boss, is he somebody?
I thought he might be, but he might just be a character actor who's been, you know, done a lot of stuff.
I think that means he's somebody. Like, I feel recognized.
Yeah. He's very recognizable. Big, big 80s, yeah. I would say. TV guy. My favorite, Stooley. One of my favorite.
I did note that, going quickly right back to the sometimes it's better to not know the truth, is currently the MO for the Republican senators right
very
now.
Very timely.
Regarding the commission to investigate January 6th.
Sometimes it's better.
Do you know what? Sometimes just it's better not to know the truth. We don't need to
sleeping
know.
Dogs lie.
We can't be helped.
You think Hank is just hardcore like right-wing?
Hank went on to be
I
a senator.
I think Hank is Mitch McConnell. Yeah.
Oh God!
He did not age well.
Isn't that amazing? He's like who's that Star Wars guy?
I'm out.
Star Wars,
you know. Bad the Dark Lord. What's his name?
Star Wars.
Yeah, he's too young for
Ben doesn't
this
know Star
conversation.
Wars.
Do you mean Emperor Palpatine?
Yeah.
You mean Emperor Palpatine?
Yeah, Emperor Palpatine. Yeah. That's Hank. Yeah. He just turned into
Yeah.
So Hank gave Ethan, well, hold on. So Ethan changes out of his Zorro getup.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Into his yacht
getup. And which that blazer, by the way, is really too long. It's very ill-fitting.
A little big.
Yeah, a little big. I'm confused as to the geography because Hank and Miguel.
Script supervisor
and,
here. Yeah, go ahead.
No, script coordinator.
Sorry. God damn it. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
It's a very different thing. I apologize.
Very different thing. So they're just like in another room in the house talking about busting into the tabloid thing?
Yeah.
Do they?
Oh, yeah. Oh. They're in the. No.
No, they're in the.
No, they're somewhere else.
No, they're in the entryway, maybe.
Is that where they're doing that?
What?
In the foyer?
Yeah.
Foyer?
They must be because he actually goes into the tabloid office, right?
I think best. You know what? Sometimes it's best not to know the truth.
Yeah, right. I'm sorry.
Man, I didn't even think about that. Yeah, but it's hard to tell. It's really hard to tell. But, you know.
By the way, no,
like Chad knows how to plan out a B&E, man. He is just.
Well.
Pretty interesting. Pretty interesting.
Yeah.
I wonder why they picked him.
Yeah. Well, because he's his best friend.
Yeah, that's what it is.
But, you know, sometimes it's just better to not dig in and know things. But. The name of the paper I love, Daily Private Lives.
That's good.
And another Gwen thing. I figured out also, not only was Gwen in the Navy, but she is the voice of the hacker collective Anonymous when she makes that call.
She has all the equipment.
Your boy, her.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
That was amazing.
She got a spy. She went to Spencer's Gifts and a spy box. And in
a spy box.
Yeah, you know.
A voice modulator.
Yeah, that's it.
That's really cool.
Guys, shall we do themes?
Yeah, I got a theme. And we also have a tiny bit of housekeeping after themes.
Ooh, a tiny bit of housekeeping.
Yeah, we got
wonderful.
Some.
Tiny bit.
I enjoy it.
My theme is pretty lame. I'm going to go first and get out of the way. I went full Sid Field here. He's a screenwriting guru, for those of you who don't know. Blindly trusting gets you fucked over. That's my theme for the show.
Is Sid Field the one who talks about the cat is dead? They kill the cat?
No. Mm. No, that's Blake Snyder. Rest in peace. Okay. Sid Field did the screenwriter, the story. He did the book Story.
Story is somebody else.
Robert McKee.
Yes.
It's Robert McKee. Okay. So full Robert McKee. Okay. I got there.
Okay.
Three tries.
Now repeat your theme because I was busy thinking about the dead cat.
Okay, go.
So according to Robert McKee, this is how you state a theme. It's something, something leads to blah, blah, blah. There's like a thing, a value and an action. Blindly trusting people will get you fucked in the end.
Mm.
That's the Robert McKee theme of the episode.
Yes, yes.
That is very...
See, not great, apparent. Not great.
Yeah, I don't like it. Well, mine is sometimes it's just better not to know the truth.
That's better, much better. Mm-hmm. Kudos. Golf clap.
Yeah. I've got a couple here. I just noticed there was so much kissing, so I got like three here. Kisses, kiss, kiss, kissy. And
it's a good one.
The other one of my favorites is you don't know the real harmony until you fucked with Luis.
What a hothead.
He is a hothead, yes.
And then
what's your third?
Thanks to the public's never ending appetite for sleaze, we have passions. Yes.
Travis wins today. That was a bit of a. I didn't even think about the meta content of that.
Right. It was that really stuck out. He's like, thanks to the public's never-ending appetite for sleaze, we'll never go out of business. Daily prep.
They really tried to do kind of a screwball comedy patois with that guy, like giving him a lot of big words that he says very quickly,
right. Like very His Girl Friday for the 20th century.
It reminded me of TMZ. I was like, where they're kind of hanging out, you know, arm on the, sitting on the desk.
Yeah.
Let's talk about ruining lives. So gross.
Yeah. 30 Mile Zone. Fuck you guys. Housekeeping. Last week, I think I just had a mini stroke when I thought I heard the music for White Rabbit in the episode. I went back and listened to it. And it is not White Rabbit. It sounds like White Rabbit, but it's not. So I apologize for making Passion seem somehow cooler than it probably was in that particular
episode. I think that was that was Ben. That was subconscious kind of trying to legitimize.
Yeah. But they did use that Roxy Music song.
So you never know.
Nothing's
off limits. We are going to continue to ask to rate and review us. Tell us all the wonderful things you love about us. Give us all of the stars possible, which
on
is
Apple's,
five.
Yeah, on Apple's, Apple,
Apple, Apple, pod, Apple's, Apple's, Apple's podcast. Podcast.
Apple's podcast, the best.
And you can also email us with questions, comments, all kinds of shit. And we will address any questions, comments, any kind of shit you want.
And
yes. And where can we be found?
Are we doing this again, guys?
Twitter's yes. At Passions4 on Twitter. Email is
Ben, will you Google Twitter?
I can't believe I did that to this day. Like, just let me look up this thing on Google. And in Google, I type in Google. Oh, boy.
It's amazing that your computer didn't like shut down. Like you just like
or punch me in the face.
Yeah.
What's wrong with you? Wake up. Everything is 404, cannot be 404. Found, forbidden, whatever. The email is go with the email, please.
Email us at
you can email us at emailpassions@gmail.com. Questions, your memories, your answers, your observations. And every once in a while, Natalie and I remember to do listener mails in the middle of the week. Maybe we'll answer when we're not locked down. You follow us on Instagram at Passions for Life Pod. I really love a lot of people are posting their stuff, their memories, or their kind of, memories. Most of them are memories talking about I remember this episode, or we used to run home from school and watch that kind of stuff. It's very fun.
It's fun. As always, folks, please stay safe and take care of yourselves. Take care of others. And we'll holler at you next week.
Yeah.
Bye.
Bye.
My worries.
Right.